Please be seated. I have been thinking a lot about turning points that we come to in our lives from time to time, and how you think you were heading in one direction in your life, and suddenly, all of a sudden, you find yourself headed in a new direction, or not. There are times when a fresh word cuts across your life and says to your own heart, this door is open to you now. What are you going to do? Are you going to go through it or not? Sometimes that choice comes in a pretty clear, pretty explicit way, like when Tracy Ragsdale and Al Ryder and Bruin Richardson and I were sitting at the McDonald's in West Point. Tracy turned to me and said, well, here's what we've decided. What do you want to do? Or something. That was pretty clear. But sometimes it's less clear. Maybe you just have a hunch or an inkling in your own spirit. Maybe something whispers to your spirit, or you see something in a new way, like an open door, and just the possibility of going through that door and leaving behind what it is finally time to leave behind takes your breath away. Or on the other hand, you may discover that there's something a little bit like a thorn in your conscience, and you find that you become dissatisfied and restless with something about your own life that 5 years or 5 minutes ago seemed okay, but now it feels like God is always speaking. I am sure of that. God is always asking for us to trust his favor and mercy for each of us. Turn to him and leave behind what it is finally time to leave behind and pass through to new life. The year before I went to seminary, though I didn't know at the time it was the year before I went to seminary, I took a job cleaning carpets that promised to give me what I thought I really needed. My boss told me that if I would just do what he said, I could make some real money. I was all ears. Believe me. Here's how it worked. My boss placed an ad in newspapers, and it was a little coupon that promised if you turn this in, we will clean carpets for $7.77 per room up to 3 rooms. And that was true, but it was just the beginning. Because once I got into your house and had cleaned your carpets, I'd say something like, you know, you have got some stains, ma'am, that steam cleaning will not get at. But I can get them out. I can shampoo that stain there and that stain there out for $4 a stain. But I'll tell you, I noticed your hallway. There's a lot of foot traffic. Here's what I'm going to do. I will shampoo your hallway, and I'll throw in all the spot cleaning for free. Or, you know, I could dry clean your sofa for $75. But why do that if I don't include Scotch Garden? Let me dry clean it. I will throw in the Scotch Garden for free. You get the idea. I'm not saying it's right. So, while I would clean 3 carpets for $23.31, the final bill that you got ended up being $100, or $200, or $300, or more. Here's the problem. Our target audience, the people we sold their service to, were people who couldn't afford it. I knew that. We all knew that. I tried not to pay too much attention to it. On the last day I worked for this carpet cleaning outfit, I got an address from a customer and drove out to her house. And it was a small, modest home in an older neighborhood that probably 30 years ago had been neat, and tidy, and bright, and shiny, and new. But over the decades, it had become tired and run down and sort of sad. The home I drove up to was the same sort of place. The older couple who lived there had probably kept their home up for decades. But time passes, and they couldn't keep up with it. So there was plenty of peeling paint and an overgrown yard. I was greeted at the front door by a woman who I guess was in her early 80s. And she welcomed me in and she said, here's the coupon that I clipped from the newspaper, and I'm supposed to redeem this with you for this special offer. And I said, yes, ma'am. She said, now, it says here that you will do 3 rooms for $7.77 a room. Is that correct? And I said, yes, ma'am, that's right. And then she introduced me to her older adult son who was standing nearby, who was probably the age I am now. And she said, this is my beautiful son, Robert. He lives with us, and he always has. And a whole story was contained in those few words. Robert didn't respond, but turned and walked back down the hallway. And his mom mother, as she watched him walk down the hallway, said, "Robert is a very special person." And then she turned to me, and I saw her clear blue eyes, and she said, "And he is the treasure of my heart." And she said, "Well, I'll be in the kitchen. If you need me, I'll get out of your way." I'm not sure I can fully describe for you all that was happening in that moment. But I think the words from our epistle, which point toward our life in Christ, when the veil separating heaven and earth is drawn back, and we see Christ the Lord himself gathering up all things to himself to sanctify and make his own, comes pretty close. God was speaking, I knew that. But what to do? Pass through this door or stay put and act as if nothing happened? It's not a sin. So instead of thinking it through too much, I unloaded my car and went to work. And over the next few hours, I steam cleaned and shampooed and dry cleaned and scotch guarded every carpet and rug, two couches, all the chairs, dry cleaned the drapes, everything, until I had run out of every cleaning product that I had. I put everything back into my car and came back into the house and went into the kitchen, and the woman was sitting at one of those little microtop kitchen tables writing in her checkbook, and she said, "Now that's $23.31, is that right?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am, that's right." And she tore the check out of the checkbook and handed it to me, and she said, "I have something else for you too." And she handed me a small Ziploc baggie with a bunch of cookies in it, freshly baked Toll House cookies that steamed up the inside of the bag a little bit. And she said, "It's just a little something I made." I went to my car and hopped in, and I looked up and I saw Robert in the driveway near the house. He had a broom in his hand, and he was trying to sweep up leaves, but there was a breeze, so he couldn't get him around in one area. And then the wind suddenly gusted around him and created one of those tight little gentle tornadoes of wind that lifted up the leaves around him. And he recognized that he was inside this little tornado of leaves, and he dropped the broom and put out his arms, and he began to turn gently inside. And I looked over this bag of cookies, and there was a note in it that said, "Thank you very much. You did a good job. God bless you." Through God's mercy and God's loving care and kind regard for you, he is always speaking a fresh word into our lives that leaves us dissatisfied with settling for too little of him, and offering us a life past this one turning point or that little door, where Christ is even now gathering all things in heaven and earth to himself to make his own. Amen.